Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So what do you put on your toast? Or what do you add to your mashed potatoes? I'm asking you really if you are a butter or a spread person. Well, what is the difference between them both? What are the possible taste or health benefits of one over the other? I'm joined now in the studio by Isabel Fagan, who's a registered dietitian. Isabel, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Good to have you here.
I don't mind telling you now that this has prompted a lot of debate and conversation in our office over whether you go for butter or spread or even oil. But before we get to that, will we go back to the basics? You might just tell us what butter is and what's in it.
Yeah. Well, actually, like, EU legislation is quite specific on exactly what butter is. So there's a real specific definition for it. And that is that butter is defined as having no less than 80% fat and no more than 90% fat. So it's actually quite high in the fat. And it's typically made by using like milk or cream, mixing it together, heating it up, spinning it until the cream and then the milk is separated. That buttermilk is drained off. And then what's left is churned together again to make the butter. Mm-hmm. And then preservatives might be added, maybe some salt. They can use different things as well in the preparation, like lactic acid bacteria, which helps just churn the butter together much more quickly. And people might know lactic acid bacteria as being a probiotic. And it's one of the most commonly used probiotics, but actually, once it's used in butter, it's not as beneficial to us because of the high fat content and the low moisture content of butter. It actually typically doesn't give us the benefits that we know it does in, you know, immune protection.
So you mentioned then that it has between 80 and 90% fat. Mm-hmm. What type of fat is that?
Yeah, and that's a really good question because I think that that's what's the most important thing for everyone to understand is like that there's lots of different types of fats. And honestly, you'd be excused for thinking that you need a degree in nutrition or something to understand all of this if you're going in just to find something to spread on your toast these days. But really what you're kind of looking for there is you have your saturated fat and your unsaturated fat. And your unsaturated fat is your mono and polyunsaturated fats. But I guess let's focus on the saturated fat. So your saturated fat, we kind of know from science really that that's what contributes to elevating the bad cholesterol in your blood. So that's the fat that we want to limit in the diet as much as we can. And when we look at butter, that is 80% fat, about 53 grams of that is saturated fat.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And I guess to put context on that, like what does that mean by a lot? Well, actually, something is considered high in saturated fat if it's greater than 5 grams per 100 grams. But again, I think context matters here because looking at that, okay, wow, that's almost 10 times the upper end or the upper limit of our saturated fat. But then if we look at, say, the likes of peanut butter, that might be about 10 grams or 9 grams of saturated fat per 100 grams. So technically it still falls into the high saturated fat category, but it's much lower and it might be a better alternative when you're looking at your saturated fat.
Okay, and all of this, of course, depends on how much butter you're going to use.
Yeah, absolutely. It does. And
so like, if you're judicious about it, it's still fine to have butter on your toast, right?
100%. And what I would say and what I want everyone to understand is that there's space for everything in the diet. You know, things don't need to be eliminated or taken out of the diet entirely, of course, unless you have an allergy or an intolerance to it. But there is space for everything in the diet. And it's just about enjoying it in the right amounts, in moderation. And I guess like that to put context on what is a right amount, you know, if we're looking at quantities of your butter or your fat that you should be having in your diet. So the guidelines are that we really should be having about 2 servings of fat a day. And what that looks like is, you know, the little pats of butter that you might get in the cafe alongside your bread.
Yeah, a little rectangle.
Exactly, yeah. So that's in around maybe 7 to 10 grams that you would get in that little pat of butter. So that would actually is meant to do 2 slices of bread.
Is it?
Lovely guidelines there. But then when we're looking at another kind of options of our fat in our diet, really you're looking at maybe measuring your oil with about a teaspoon. So a teaspoon is what we should be using in our cooking. So that would be like your olive oil, your rapeseed oil, maybe if you were to use avocado oil as well, that can be used in there.
Okay, now I'm just working this out because that's of course per person. So if you're cooking for your family and
exactly.
the recipe says 2 tablespoons of oil, you're probably still okay.
Yes, and that's the thing is that's per person,
So when we're talking about saturated fat, like we have to remember that it, oils like coconut oil, like palm oil, like they're going to have the same sort of stats as butter, aren't aren't they?
Yeah, well, that's actually really interesting because like most of our saturated fat comes from animal sources. And coconut oil, like a few years ago, you know,
was the thing
and was hyped up for being, I guess, a health food and was really promoted and loads of people were using it in their cooking. And it can be a delicious additive, I guess, for taste. You know, we can use it in certain things for taste. But yes, it's actually one of the plant sources in our diet that is really high in saturated fat. And I think this might interest people that it can be even higher than butter, in that it can be up to about 98 grams per 100 grams of fat or saturated fat.
So be careful if you're going to replace your butter with what you're replacing it with.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm. And that's where I might suggest like replacing it with mostly our unsaturated fats. So if we're looking at that, what are we thinking? We're thinking our olive oil, if we can use that, or a bit closer to home, like we can get lovely rapeseed oil here in Ireland and we can use that. Rapeseed oil actually, interestingly, has a little bit of a higher tolerance for temperature. So that might be good for your roasting. Your olive oil, maybe your extra virgin olive oil would be good for like using on your salads during the summer or, you know, spreading it over even a slice of bread. Let's get very Mediterranean about it.
Yeah, we have a listener who says, please don't forget how wonderful olive oil and a little bit of salt is on freshly cooked hot potatoes.
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
Really? Yeah.
I like in to replace the butter in the mash with olive oil. Well, does that work?
It does work. And it's a really, really good alternative, I guess, because you'll get the benefit of the unsaturated fats in there. But then if you like that creaminess, you know, if you want to bring that creaminess back into it, think about maybe adding in milk. And, you know, that's something, I guess, can be a whole other debate and a whole other topic. But milk,
that's what we do in our house, a bit of butter and a bit of milk in the mash.
Yeah. And the milk can make it a little bit creamy, but maybe you could try the olive oil then, maybe as the alternative to the butter.
Well, I'd give it a go, but you know, I'd be tentative about that. That listener also says peanut butter or tahini and jam are also great on toast.
Yeah. Loving this listener's recommendations. So the tahini, what tahini is a sesame spread. So it's made from sesame seeds. And sesame seeds are a really, really interesting seed because what they give you is a lot of magnesium. And I think the nicest way I like to describe what magnesium does in the body, it manages and magnifies your energy. So it's involved in loads of different processes in the body. So again, when you're looking at an alternative, rather than just maybe choosing something that's similar to butter, a spread that you might find that might just be similar enough, could we actually choose something that would give us then benefit, you know, rather than just a replacement?
Can we just talk about spreads for a minute? Because I imagine a lot of households use them because they're really convenient and many of them spread straight from the fridge. Are they a useful alternative?
Yeah, so I guess with spreads, again, EU legislation is so strict on them and has all the definitions. So we have different types of ones. Like we have, I guess, what we typically know is our margarine. And what margarine is, it has to be 80%, no less than 80% vegetable oil or fat. And then our spreads can be a mixture of both. So it can be kind of a variation in dairy mixtures. It can have the vegetable oils or different type of oils in there. So what happened, I guess, originally when they came about was the process, the way that they were processed and made. And in the processing, they made these trans fats that science is actually quite clear that can really elevate our bad cholesterol in our blood. Now, over the years, we're much more protected here now in the EU because actually we cannot have more than 2 grams of trans fats per 100 grams of food. So we typically don't use those processing mechanisms anymore.
So the rules are there now to guard against it.
So for the most part, what I would say is that these alternative spreads or margarines, whatever you might be choosing, you know, they can be a good swap out and you're a lot safer now with the options that you're using. But then I always like to go back to, like, you know, butter here. I feel like we're renowned worldwide for the nice butter that we have and people are dying for it when they're over the other side of the world. So, you know, there's a lot less processing that goes into our butter in comparison to these spreads. And if you're looking at the back of a packet and seeing that there's a really long list of, you know, maybe
of ingredients
that you don't know, that's when I might think, okay, you know, could we then think, let's have something that might be a better alternative and using our butter day in, day out, maybe, you know, less often.
All right. Well, look, I'm going to stick with the butter. Thank you so much, Isabel Fagan, registered dietitian.